welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. Open up our senses, Lord. Open up our senses, we pray, to the wonderful truths in your word, Lord God. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you to Gabriella and the band. Wasn't that a wonderful, wonderful time of worship this evening? Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be here tonight at the filling stations. These nights are just so special. There is so much love, so much unity in the church in Renfrewshire. And we know, yeah, that deserves an applause, because you make that happen. There's so much love and unity, and we know that the Lord God loves to bless that. And he certainly blesses these nights when we come together to worship God over the summer. This year, we are journeying through a series looking at the presence of God. Could there be anything better than that? So thank you, Pastor Hugh, for this challenging but fantastic series. And we are looking at fully opening up our senses, our whole being, to the mighty presence of God. And Phil opened up last week as we looked at taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is indeed good. And we're going to look at all the other senses of smell, hearing, sight, and touch from the other pastors over this summer. This evening, as Ken has introduced, we're going to be looking at smell. Not an easy one. So I found out during my research that smell is one of the oldest senses, essential in survival, especially in relation to feeding, mating, and staying safe and out of danger, sniffing out the opposition. We don't think about smell as much in those terms today. However, the perfume industry, well, they have certainly tapped into the power, haven't they? The power of smell, the attraction of smell. 2020, sales value of fragrances was estimated at 1.6, not million, but billion pounds. 1.6 billion British pounds. That's a lot of fragrance wafting about, isn't it? But why is this industry so popular? Well, simply because smell, scent, is powerful. It is alluring and it is powerful. Not only is it powerful, but the sense of smell also triggers memories. One of the reasons for that is because the olfactory system is located in the part of the brain that is connected to memory and emotions and creativity. So that's why you are often transported to times gone by when you smell a certain scent. It may be gingerbread. It immediately transports you back to your mother's kitchen at Christmas time as you baked some biscuits. Or perhaps it's the smell of Johnson's baby products that reminds you of your babies when they were little and you were getting them ready for their bath. Or whether it's that favorite perfume or aftershave that reminds you of your love for someone special. Or it was that scent that you wore on your wedding day. That's why after 21 years or so of being together, I insist on Gordon wearing the exact same aftershave that he wore when we first started dating, and I won't allow him to wear anything else. Because it reminds me of him. Has fond memories. So you can see how the perfume industry has grown to be such a lucrative business, because scent is powerful. It is alluring. It is attractive. It has the power to remind us of days gone by, of good times and good memories. It's powerful. But it doesn't just have the power to remind us of good times. Smell can repel us too, can cause us to retreat. And I often think of the Apostle Peter when he was warming his hands by the fire, that open fire. And the smell of the open fire mingled in with his betrayal of Jesus. I wonder if Peter ever smelled an open fire the same again. Every time he smelled a fire, did it remind him of his betrayal of Jesus? So smell has the power to produce good and not so good memories. I wonder this evening, do you have a special smell? A smell that stirs memories. My favourite smell, Phil, you're going to like this one, is freshly brewed coffee. First thing in the morning. Not only is it attractive, but in me it produces a moment. A moment, first thing in the morning, where I can go and have that first cup of coffee before the business of the day begins. And it's not just the smell of coffee that I like, freshly brewed coffee in the morning, but it stirs up memories for me. You see, freshly brewed coffee first thing in the morning reminds me of my dad. My dad has lived abroad for most of my adult life, but when we get together, we like to get up early in the morning, and he goes downstairs and he puts on a pot of coffee. And the two of us go outside and we sit in the garden and we wait for the sun to come up and we sit there and we enjoy that coffee together. So that's one of my favourite smells. So tonight I want to ponder the fact that fragrance is powerful and it is attractive. And the Bible talks all about scent and fragrance all throughout Scripture. If we go way, way back to the first book in the Bible, if we go back to Genesis, when God saved Noah and his family from the flood, once they had been rescued, Noah stopped, he paused, and he built an altar to the Lord. He made a sacrifice offering to God. And Scripture tells us that it was pleasing to God. Chapter 8, verse 21, all the Scriptures should come up on the screen behind me. It says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. This act of worship, this act of thanksgiving from Noah was pleasing to God. In the Old Testament, the priests would continually burn incense on the altar. The incense was made up of four or five aromatic spices. Can you imagine the smell of all of those spices mingled together? But it wasn't just the smell of the incense that was pleasing to God, but also of what it represented. Because the incense being burned represented obedience, communion with God, sacrifice, prayer. What are we talking about? We're talking about worship. That's what we're going to look at this evening. The scent of our worship, church. The scent of our worship is pleasing to God. It causes God to respond like this. When you worship him, Dorothy. When you worship Jesus, he responds to your worship. It is a pleasing aroma to God. So the scent of worship is pleasing to God, and we find it all throughout the Old Testament. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says that Jesus was a pleasing offering. He was a pleasing offering. He was the ultimate sacrifice. That Jesus died for each and every one of us on the cross at Calvary. He offered up his body as a living sacrifice. for our sins. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 2 explains it this way. He says that Christ loved us. That's why he died for us. It's because of love. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And not only was Jesus a pleasing offering to the Father, but he is also a pleasing offering to each and every one of us, because his sacrifice has brought us life and has brought us freedom. And that scent doesn't stop there. It lingers. It lingers, as not only was Christ that sweet smelling offering to the Father, but we too can be that sweet aroma, that we too can give off that fragrance that attracts others to Jesus. Did you know that? That anyone who is in Christ, that you carry the fragrance of Jesus. A fragrance so beautiful, so alluring, so powerful that it causes others to stop and ask, what is that? Just as people often say, what is that perfume? What's that scent that you're wearing? They're intrigued. They want to know. That anyone who is in Christ, they carry that scent. It causes people to stop and ask, what is it about that person? What is it about her? What is it about him? What is it that they are giving off? The Apostle Paul highlights it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. Church, I wonder if you ponder your own life right now. Are you producing the aroma of Christ? Are those around you, are their senses stirred when they encounter you, when they look at you with their eyes, do they see Jesus? When they listen to you with their ears, do they hear Jesus? When they spend time in your presence, do you give off that scent of life and of hope? Do they smell Jesus on you? Are you like that expensive bottle of perfume? In causing others to stop and ask, what is it about her? What is it about him? What is it they are smelling? And it is, of course, the love of Jesus Christ that is pouring out of you. Just as Christ's sacrifice was a pleasing offering to God, we too are called to release that scent of life and hope. However, in that verse in Corinthians, it says that it's a beautiful, attractive smell to the one being saved. However, it's not a beautiful, attractive smell to everyone. For those who have rejected Christ in the life that he died for them to receive, it's not a beautiful, attractive smell. In fact, it's a pungent smell of death. Now, I know, because I've just spent time with you all over the last 20 odd minutes or half an hour, that the room this evening is filled with worshippers. I'll say that again. The room this evening is filled with worshippers. So it's hard for us to comprehend that the aroma of Christ would be like a pungent smell of death. It's incomprehensible to us to imagine that. But let's jump back a verse to see what Paul's talking about. It says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Here Paul was making the contrast between believers and non-believers. He was likening believers and the good news that they share to that sweet fragrance that was spread during Roman victory parades. Both the victors and those that were perishing would smell the aroma, because the Romans made sure that it was, this incense was burned throughout the city. And for the victors, the aroma was pleasing. But to the captives, it meant slavery or death. As believers, we are victorious soldiers, are we not? And when the gospel is shared, it is a pleasing fragrance to God. And those who have a nose to smell it, I know that's not in scripture, but those who have a nose to smell it will smell it. And those who have ears to hear it, they will hear it. But to those currently being enslaved, it has the opposite effect. So what fragrance do you bring? What fragrance do you bring when you walk into the room? What are you smelling other than my scented candle this evening? I want to take you now to a very well-known passage in the Bible. It is my favourite passage in the Bible. I know I say it all the time, but this is my very favourite passage in the Bible. And I just jump at the chance to speak about this any time I get. It's a story of a woman who entered a room. And as she entered the room, her perfume filled the atmosphere. But it wasn't just her perfume that filled the room. It was also the scent of her worship. And just as the passage in Corinthians from Paul suggests, not everyone in the room responded to her scent of worship. In fact, some even repulsed. But what was most important, church, was the one, the only one that is worthy of praise. He responded. He captured the scent of her worship. And it caused him to go. So let's read the story. Turn with me now to the book of Luke, chapter 7. This is Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. Verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and she poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered Simon, "Simon, I have something to tell you." And he then shares a parable about two debtors. Then he turned towards the woman, verse 44, and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. So let's picture the scene. Jesus is having dinner at a Pharisee's house. Simon has invited Jesus to be his guest at the dinner. And that's important information for us, church. As a guest, there are certain ways in which you expect to be treated with respect, welcomed, made to feel comfortable. So Jesus and the other guests at the meal, all were men, were reclining at the table. Any women that would have been there would have been in a separate room, but they were not around this table or this mat, depending on what they were eating on. So this would have been quite a cozy dining setting. They were reclining at the table, so anyone coming in would have stood out almost immediately. They would have been towering above them. And that's what happens. In walks an uninvited guest. and she's a woman. And we read in verse 37 that she is a sinful woman. So the first few things we learn about this lady is that she's there with a purpose. She's there with an intention, and her intention is to see Jesus. We also know that she's brought with her a jar of perfume, and we'll come back to that. She comes looking for Jesus. Are you here this evening to encounter Jesus? So what do we know about her? Well, she's referred to as the woman in the town that lived a sinful life. This woman is known by the town as the sinful woman. I get the impression it's one of those towns. News travels fast sort of thing. It's probably how she knew where to find Jesus, because the tongues were wagging. Guess who's going to Simon's house tonight for dinner? It's that guy Jesus that's been walking through the streets, healing people, and in walks the sinful woman. Now, know that it doesn't say that she's had a bit of a past, she's messed up, she's made some mistakes. No, it says that she is the sinful woman. That is the identity that they have given her. Now, I can't help but think of another scripture when I read this. It says in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The glory of God being the exact representation of his nature. The glory of God being Jesus. He is the only one without sin. So surely this town was not saying that she was the only sinner in town. What was it that she was carrying? What was she bound to? Well, the original word for sinful life is harmatalis in the ancient Greek. And it describes a habitual sinner. It's someone that is not free from sin. So that tells us that whatever this woman has been bound to, whatever she's been carrying it for a long time. Now, we don't know what it is. But through generations of biblical scholars looking at the text and tone and wording, there seems to be an indication of a sexual nature. So perhaps this woman is a prostitute. Now, we don't know for sure. We don't know how she ended up here, how she chose this lifestyle. I can't say for sure, but something's happened to her. Something's happened to this woman along the way, because no wee girl at the age of 6 and 7 dancing around her bedroom dreams of growing up and becoming a prostitute. So something's happened along the way. We don't know. But what we can glean from the passage is that she's been this way for a while. So it's safe to say that the diners at this meal would not have wanted to associate with this woman, be seen with her, not in public anyway. But one man in particular makes his opinion known. Verse 39, Simon says about Jesus, "If he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Surely, Simon wasn't saying that he was without sin. Only Jesus, remember? Only Jesus is the pure and spotless one. What Simon was actually saying is, do you know, Jesus, what dirt you are allowing to touch you? Do you know how unclean she is? He was making the point that if Jesus was really a holy man, he would not allow this woman so unclean, so dirty, to touch him. Not only did Simon not realize whose presence he was in, but he was judging. He was judging this woman and he was judging Jesus. The thing is, Jesus knew exactly who this woman was. He knew every single person around that table. He knows every single person in the room tonight. Further on in Luke's gospel, it says that Jesus welcomes sinners. That word welcomes in the ancient language means to receive, to take you by the hand, to take hold of you and receive you. And Jesus received this woman this night. And dear friends, if you're here tonight and you're caught up in a sin cycle, if you're weighed down by bondage of sin, can I encourage you tonight to come to Jesus? Because he will receive you. He will take hold of you. He will not turn away from you. So we've established that this woman came with a purpose to see Jesus, but why? Well, we know she brings her perfume. She brings this alabaster jar filled with pure nard perfume. This is the good stuff. This is not your eau de toilette or your toilet water. This is your eau de parfum. This is your Coco Chanel. This is your Hugo Boss, if that's what you like. It was expensive. It was also indicative of her lifestyle. Her scent would have been an indication of her profession. It may have even been a payment for her services. So at this point, church, I'd like you to allow my imagination just to flow a little bit. You see, I like to picture the scene just before the dinner, where she hears from the town's gossips, that guy Jesus is having dinner at Simon's house. And I imagine her running home and entering into her bedroom and looking around thinking, what have I got? What have I got that I can bring him? What have I got to take him that is worth more than what he has given to me? And you know the answer is there is nothing. There is nothing that we can bring Jesus that is worth more than what he has given to us. But I love her style, don't you? I love her style because it says a lot. Says a lot about this woman. It says a lot about what she wants to say to Jesus, express to Jesus. I love you, Jesus, and I want to show you. I want to express that love to you. Worship flows from the heart. It's our heart's expression of gratitude. You see, this woman at some point has been set free, hasn't she? She's been set free from the bondage of sin. She has met with the bondage breaker. And again, we don't know. But perhaps she heard him teaching in the marketplace. Perhaps, like others have done, she touched the hem of his garment and she was completely set free. Perhaps she smelled the scent of fragrance through someone else's testimony. We don't know, but at some point she's been set free. And that's why she's here, because she wants to say thank you. Are you here to say thank you to Jesus this evening? And when she gets there, verse 38, she bows at his feet and she's already weeping and her tears are bouncing off his toes. She lets down her hair, another thing women would not do in those days, but she doesn't care. She wipes his feet with her hair and then she opens up the jar. And immediately the scent, the aroma of the perfume fills the air, fills the atmosphere. But it was not just the scent of her alabaster jar filled with perfume that fills the room. It is her heart of praise. Filling his heart. And in that moment, Jesus responded to her worship. So here we have it. She comes with the intention to see Jesus. We know she wants to wash his feet with perfume, something that you would do for special guests, something, I may add, that Simon failed to do for Jesus. Jesus speaks to him, I came into your house, you did not give me water for my feet. He didn't show any respect to his guest. Perhaps he didn't realize that he was in the presence of the Almighty. But this woman knew. She knew whose presence she was in. And she knew exactly how to respond. Do you know that you are in the presence of the Almighty God this evening? That his Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And church, there is only one way to respond when you are in the presence of the King. And that is to bow down and worship him. Because he deserves all the glory and all the praise. And I love, before she can begin to even wash his feet, her tears have already begun the job. The Greek word for crying here is klio, and it's not just a boo-hoo or a wee greet, as we say in the west of Scotland. This is an outpouring of her life upon the Master. She knows the magnitude of the debt that has been written off. She is crying a river of gratitude and praise, and she is pouring it out on the one, the only one that deserves it. Because he is the only one that can set you free. And he had set her free. It was a beautiful act of worship. As I said earlier, Paul mentions that this scent of worship well to those who believe, to those that are hungry for Jesus. It is a sweet smell, but it's not a sweet smell to everyone. Let's look at Simon's response. We heard there in the passage that Simon was disturbed by this lavish act. He did not see it as a beautiful act of worship. His sense of smell was not opened to this act of worship. Neither was his other senses. His sight was blind too. Jesus shares a parable with Simon in order to try and open him up a little bit, open up his senses. Verse 44, do you see this woman? He's looking at the woman and he's looking at Simon and he's saying, do you see her? Jesus saw her. He sees you. Simon was in the very presence of the Almighty, but his senses were shut down. He could not appreciate the scent of this woman's worship. He couldn't hear the words of truth that were being poured out by the Master, and he certainly didn't realize that he was in the presence of the Sovereign Lord. Jesus speaks to him, I came into your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears. You did not put oil in my head, but she poured perfume on my feet, as is the great love that she has shown. This woman was forgiven and she was free. Simon did not capture that. And he responded in a negative, judgmental way. But Jesus responded by blessing her and sending her away in peace. So as we wrap up, did you come to encounter Jesus tonight? Perhaps you're meeting him here this evening for the first time. For the first time, your senses are truly opened to the bondage breaker. That he is the one, the only one, that can truly forgive us of our sins. He had set this woman free. She didn't care who was looking on. She didn't care that they were looking on in judgment. When you are worshiping the Lord, it doesn't matter about anyone else or even yourself. Because when we worship, it's not about us. It's not about who we are or how we're feeling. It's all about him. She didn't care who was looking at us. Now, I know that our worship is a witness. We need to acknowledge that and be aware of it. But she didn't care as she let down her hair. She didn't care that they were staring at her. You can almost imagine her lifting up her head. Lifting up her head for the first time because she spent her whole life going around looking in the dirt full of shame, but not anymore. Because you see, Jesus is the only one that can lift your head. And she's looking back at them and she's saying, say what you like. Call me what you want. I don't care. Because I'm here to worship Jesus. I'm here to lift up my hands to Jesus. I don't care if they think I look like a fool dancing. David was a fool when he danced before the Lord. I don't care what you think because I have been set free. Are you hearing about his love for you for the first time this evening? Can I encourage you to bring him your heart? That's all he wants, is you. Bring him your heart this evening. Jesus is the only one that can set us free. The band can come back up and join us. So the next time, church, when you're getting ready to leave the house, to go about your Father's business, as you stop to apply your scent, as you stop to put on your Coco Chanel or your Hugo Boss, Nathan, before you leave the house, take a peace pause, and in that moment, pray, Lord, as I go about your business today, let me give off your aroma. Let me smell like you, and may others stop in their tracks and be attracted to the scent of life, as described as your scent in Psalm 45. May the oil of joy be poured on me, Lord. May my garments be as fragrant as myrrh and aloe. So we're going to worship together. This is your time of response. I can't respond to God for you. Perhaps you've been walking with the Lord a long time. You've been worshiping Jesus forever, it seems. But perhaps lately your senses have been dulled. And tonight, as you stand and you worship him, you just want to give him your fragrance. You just want to say, thank you, Jesus. You just want to bring that heart of gratitude. Would you stand with me now as we do that? Perhaps you're here and Jesus has opened up your senses for the first time. As we sing this song together, as you open up your palms, as you position yourself in a posture to worship, why don't you give Jesus your heart? Use this time. This is your time to worship your Master. Father God, we lift our eyes to you. We thank you for your living word. We open our hearts now to receive from you, Lord God. For anyone hearing this for the first time tonight, I pray that you would open up their heart, Lord, now. I pray that they would pray, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you were the aroma, the pleasing aroma to God, the Father, when you offered yourself for us. Lord, we are so unworthy of that precious gift. But right now, we want to bring you our hearts filled with praise and gratitude. We want to worship you now, Jesus. We simply want to say thank you. And Lord, would you help us as we leave this place? May we continue to be that sweet aroma wherever we go and with whoever we meet, that we would be the aroma of Christ. And may those around us be opened to the fragrance of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship and then Ken will come back and close up.